That's pretty good, wasn't it?
Yes.
I thought it was great. Hope you've had a great day today. Has it been good?
Yes.
You glad you came?
Yes,
sir. Am I your favorite preacher?
Yes,
sir. Oh, good, good. I know I'm really not, but it doesn't hurt to ask. How you doing? You keep staying right up here in the front row every service. That's a good deal. You're close. I got your number. All right, 2 Samuel in your Bible, 2 Samuel chapter 11. I always enjoy being an ambassador, and I'm sure glad I could be here today. And I hope you'll pray about God's will for your life, and I hope you'll consider serving the Lord, and you'll pray about even coming to ambassador. It's a great place, and I know the Lord would work in your heart in a mighty way here, and I always love being here. I love preaching to teenagers. I've enjoyed preaching to you today. You guys have been a gracious audience, and I guess I need to raise this a little bit higher. It's been a great audience today, and I've enjoyed being a part of your day. And hope you'll keep letting the Lord work in your heart. Hope you'll pray for me, too, if the Lord reminds you to. EvangelistDaveYoung.com is my website. Send me a message from there. I have a Facebook page and a Twitter page as well. And so you can even send me a message there. I'd love to hear from you and hear how you're doing. I hope you'll pray for me and Brother Mike himself, who's traveling with me. We'll be leaving after this service, and I'm going home. I haven't been home in a few days. In fact, I've been home in over a week, and so I'm going home to see my wife and my family. It's 501 miles, and I hope to get home because I won't be in church tomorrow. But that's really not why I'm going home. I'm going home to kiss my wife. That's really why I'm going. So I sent her a message, said, baby, put your helmet on because I'm going to come kiss your brains out. And so that's where I'm headed. I'm going that way. And I hope someday you're married, and I hope someday you're madly in love with your spouse as well. And if you can find somebody, I'll have you. I hope that's true in your life too, okay? 2 Samuel chapter 11. We've talked several times today about David. I wish I could preach weeks to you on David, one of my favorite characters in the Bible. And we've learned a lot about him. You remember we talked this morning, the first session, about why God chose David, because of David's heart. God could see his heart. Your heart's so important, young people. I hope you didn't miss the truth of that. Thank you for responding to that message, letting God work in your life. And then I spoke to you in that second session this afternoon about the steps of your life, and I hope you got that. David didn't get to the throne overnight. He got there by taking right steps in his life and doing what was right, honoring his dad, and doing the right thing. And you know what? It's a tough hour you live in. These are sad days and troubled times, but I want you to know that you can serve God. I want you to know that you can do what's right. I want you to know, young people, I believe with all my heart there's hope for your generation. You're important in this generation. Your generation needs somebody that'll give their life to Jesus and do what's right and take a stand for the Lord and go all out for God and honor God with your life. Just go overboard. Your family needs you. Your future generations need you. Maybe the Lord's going to come and it'll all be over and we'll all go home, but we don't know that. Until the Lord comes, we need you to be godly and sold out and dedicated and put Jesus first and just keep letting God work in your heart. You're important to God. You know, David's life has a lot of stories to it. I thought about preaching to you about David's love, because he loved the Bible. You don't read the Psalms without knowing that, and he loved God. He just was a great man. There's so many areas of his life that's important, and so many areas I could talk about, and so many areas I could share with you. But there's one part of David's life that's sad, and I even hate having to tell it to you. I wouldn't tell it to you except it's in the Bible. I wish it weren't in there. I wish I didn't know this part of David's life. Here was a man that started out right and did what was right, and yet had a major failure in his life. The reason I want to preach about it today is because it's a major area where many of you are in danger of failing. It's a major area in your life. It's an area in purity. Would you look at chapter 11, verse 1? David's an older man now. He's now on the throne. Years have come and gone. He's married, and he's had children, and he's getting on up in years. And in verse 1 of chapter 11, we pick up a story that changes so many things about David's life. It came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned unto her house, and the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, I am with child. And David sent to Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. I could read a lot more of this story, and I'll stop right there. Except I would take you all the way down into the verse 27, the last verse of chapter 11. The Bible says very simply, the last sentence in this chapter, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Now, young people, look at me. You know, and I know, and all of us know that there's a major attack about our purity in this day. You already know that, don't you? You don't need a preacher to get up and say that. Everywhere you go, your TV, how many of you have a TV at your house? Raise your hand good high. You know there's all kinds of garbage on your TV in there. I mean, you guys that want to have a clean thought life and you want to do what's right, if you sit in front of the TV very much at all, you'll see things that'll provoke your thoughts. And if you're not a very godly young man and really, 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 really spirit-filled, you'll be having lustful thoughts just simply sitting in a living room watching something we call entertainment. The devil is attacking our purity perhaps like never before. And the internet has even made it more difficult. And I asked you in the last session about how many of you had the internet. Most all of you in your house have internet. A lot of you have a smartphone in your possession. And there's so much garbage available. When I was a boy, you still had to struggle with your purity. You still did. You still had to do what was right. But I didn't have to face a lot of the things you face. I never had the internet pornography possibility. In our day, if you were going to look at something that was garbage, there was a shame involved in it. You had to do it publicly. You had to go into a store where people would see you. Or you had to be around where you could get something that was very difficult to get, a magazine or something like that. It was harder, but yet in your day, because of the internet, pornography today is affordable, it's free, and most of you know that. It's anonymous. You can do it privately. It's accessible. It's available at just simply the click of a mouse or the typing in of a word in a search engine. And what many of you don't realize, it's very aggressive. Because in our generation, the pornography industry is after you. The generation, a lot of y'all have texting. And some of you girls, the pornography I talk about doesn't mean the same thing to you that it means to guys, but some of you girls, if you're not careful, texting can become a very dangerous tool to attack your purity. It's amazing how many girls will send a picture of themselves to a guy. How we get careless about our language and our texting back and forth. David's not the first, we're not the first generation that struggle with our purity. Here's David years ago in a generation without a TV, in a generation without the internet, had no possibility of texting anything, and yet David in that generation ruined his purity. Ruined it. You know what? There's undoubtedly many young people in this room right now, this very morning, who are in danger of doing major damage to your purity unless Almighty God intervenes in your life and you take right steps. Now, David here, look at this. Satan viciously attacks. You know, one of the reasons Satan viciously attacks is it undermines God's plan for happiness and pleasure. It undermines God's plan for marriage and family. I teased you guys in the last session about being married. Many of you will be married in the next 10 or 15 years. And you know, one of the reasons the devil wants to destroy your purity is because it destroys the happiness and pleasure and joy that God intends for your marriage someday. God wants you to have a great marriage in the years to come. You can have a happy marriage. You can be madly in love with your best friend and enjoy being married. Marriage is an absolutely wonderful thing. And God wants you to enjoy that, but the purity, the attack on your purity in this day is trying to destroy all of that. It's a subtle attack. In our generation, part of the reason it's so subtle is because it starts in the privacy of our heart. There's kids in this room, and you're already struggling with things that you've seen on the internet, and it's a private matter, but it's a struggle nonetheless. And I recommend strongly, and I'll probably come back to this at the end. Guys, if you're struggling, girls, if you're struggling, if you're careless, if there's a battle raging, you better get help. You better swallow your stinking pride. Don't let the devil tell you you're alone. Don't let the devil tell you somebody will make fun of you. You need to get all the help you can get. You need to find somebody that loves you. You need to find somebody that can help you because the devil wants to destroy your purity. It's very, very, very vicious attack in our day. It's in our day even exacerbated through modern culture, entertainment, education, experiences of our day. How many of you go to a public school? Can I see your hand? You go to public school. Isn't it shocking? I don't do a lot of work in the public school, but I had a young evangelist tell me recently, and we had a big public school outreach ministry that we did many weeks of the year, and I was always shocked at what goes on today in public schools. PDA, the public displays of affection, the homosexuality that is rampant. Young people, we live in such a messed up world today. A diabolical world. We need God to intervene in this hour because one of the most important things you can have is your purity. And God wants you to have it. And God's for you. But don't think you're above failure. One author said it like this: don't think you're above failure when it comes to your purity, because you'd have to be godlier than David. You'd have to be wiser than Solomon. You'd have to be stronger than Samson. You know, people, Samson was the strongest man that ever lived, and he failed in his purity. Solomon was the wisest man apart from Jesus that ever lived, and he failed in his purity. And David was a man after God's own heart, and yet he failed in his purity. Look at David just a moment in our text, would you? Look at David here in 2 Samuel 11. He let his heart wander. I told you your heart was important. And here was a man that did right and honored God and was an amazing teenager. But as he got older in his life, he let his heart wander and he went down a wrong path. And my goodness, what a damage he did to his family and his character. He stepped. Remember steps in the last session? He stepped in the wrong direction. He saw the lady, which is not necessarily improper. It would have been a normal thing for Bathsheba to be taking a bath in the way that she was, because that's how they did it in the Oriental custom. Now, they didn't have hot water running out of a hot water heater like you do in a shower in our day. You heated the water on the roof of a house. And if you were going to take a bath, that was the place to do it. That was a normal thing. But what was wrong was David should have been out in the battle. He should have been out doing what was right. And he stayed home and he goes for a walk and he sees this lady. He should have looked away. He had a wife. God had a plan for him. And he looked and he lusted after that lady. And then he said, and even God put up roadblocks in the way. David says, Who's that woman down there at such and such house? And one of his servants says, David, that's Bathsheba. You know, the daughter of so-and-so and the wife of your mighty man, Uriah. Hello, this is Uriah's wife. Can you see that roadblock in David's life? And yet David ignored the roadblock. David knew better than that. He was a man after God's own heart. David knew better than that. He had killed a giant. David knew better than what he was doing. And yet he just ruined it. Look at David, but don't look at David alone. I want to challenge you this afternoon to look at yourself. Because young people, one major thing I want to say to you in this final session is this: purity ought to be a major priority for your life. Purity ought to be a major priority in your life. And here's the danger a lot of you girls have. Your purity is not a major priority. Oh yeah, you might talk about it, but it's not a driving major priority that'll change the choices you make and the things you look at. Guys, you better determine today, by God's grace and God's help, to make your purity a major priority. It's more important than whether or not you're a great athlete. It's more important than whether or not you make good grades. It's more important than whether or not you get accepted to your college of choice. Your purity is top of the line priority. And by God's grace and God's help, you need to understand some Bible truth about purity. Did you know that God designed you and me with human sexuality? Did you know that? God designed us this way. God made men, men, and women, women, and God designed us. Human sexuality is not the devil's idea. You already knew that, didn't you? It's not something Hollywood came up with. It's not something the devil invented. God Almighty designed us with human sexuality. That was God's plan. When God made guys, He made guys to notice girls. That's always been part of God's plan. And God made girls to have an attraction towards guys. That has always been part of God's plan. Remember when you were younger and you guys didn't like girls? You guys remember that? Girls, remember when you were younger and didn't like boys? You thought boys were weird? Come on, look at the way. Y'all, that's true, isn't it? When you're younger, you're like, guy, ooh, yuck, it's a guy. And, you know, guys are like, we're blood brothers, no girls allowed. That all changes, doesn't it? Because there come a day in a guy's life that his body begins to develop from a little boy into a man, and that's a normal design function. And what happens in a young man's life is it's a normal time somewhere in his life to start noticing girls. That's very normal. That is very normal. That is very normal. Did I say that was very normal? It's very normal to be a guy and notice a girl. You know, the little boy's like, no, it's girls. And someday you're walking down the street and you see this beautiful girl. And you're like, whoa. Hubba, hubba, hubba. You know, because you notice, you know, right? And, you know, or maybe you're a girl and you're walking down the street and you know, you see this guy. And it's, you, whoa. He's, you know, maybe he's a bigger guy. Blah, 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 blah. I don't know. You notice. That's normal. It's normal that my kids are, you know, I don't want my kids to think, oh, okay, guys, now boys, your daddy's an evangelist. You gotta be pure. Stay away from girls. No, I want my guys to notice girls. My son came home in church the other day and he said, hey, you know such and such girl at church. Well, yes. He said, I think she's cute. And you know, you know, how do you respond to that? And in my heart, I was like, yes, he's normal. You got to think that way today, don't you? Yes, he likes girls. It's God's plan. That's the way God designed us. God designed human sexuality. He designed you to notice that you're a guy and she's a girl, and you're a girl and he's a guy. You're that's normal. That's God's plan for your life. And what God wants you to know is that human sexuality, it's sacred. It's sacred. It's holy. You could say it like this. Now, you be very respectful and helpful here. It's good. Human sexuality is not evil. It's good. And you be sacred. It's God's. It was God's idea. And you be sacred here. The fact of the matter is, human sexuality is God's gift. It's God's gift for your marriage. It's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful, sacred, holy, blessed, enjoyable thing. God designed it for your marriage. Most of you will be married. Marriages always start with a wedding. Weddings are great things, but they're really for girls. I mean, really, you know, the guy shows up at a wedding. You've been to a wedding, haven't you? The guy shows up at the wedding. He comes sneaking out a back door. Comes out and stands on the platform. And nobody even notices he's there. Am I right? That's the truth, isn't it? And then the girl comes in. Dun, dun, da, da. You know, everybody stands because there she comes. You know that song, don't you? Here comes the bride, big, fat, and white. Okay. That is not how the song goes. I can't believe I just sang that. Back that up and take that off the recording, please. That'll happen in your life someday. And by the way, guys, you know what your little woman will do to you is she'll want you to wear a tuxedo, and tuxedos were designed by women to make men nervous at weddings. Because they have this thing called a cummerbund. It even sound manly, does it? Wear a cummerbund. The little thing goes around the middle, you know. And they call it a cummerbund. A guy shouldn't wear something called a cummerbund. Don't y'all think? For crying out loud. But it's part of the wedding, and you're going to get married. And I tell you something. Can I tell you something? You look at me. Can I tell you something? On the day you get married, it'd be a great thing, I guess, if you go on your wedding day, you could say to your wife, hey, baby, I bought you a brand new house. That'd be fine. Hey, baby, I bought you a Corvette. I'm going to drive it, but I bought it for you. But you know what? Really, those gifts are nothing compared to whether or not you can give your purity to your spouse. I used to hear, when I was a teenager, I heard a preacher say this one time. He said, young people, he said, you stay pure till you get married. And I kind of thought, oh, you do what's right, then you get married and you're not pure? That's kind of what it sounded like. But that's not what he meant. What this is probably not the best way to say it either. The best way to say it is, young people, keep your purity. Stay clean. Girls, don't get involved in the texting garbage of our day. Guys, don't you play around with the texting garbage of our day. Don't you get on the internet. Don't you mess around with some dating relationship. You stay away from the pornography and the adultery and the fornication and the homosexuality. Because the day you stand at the wedding altar and you're marrying the girl of your dreams and the man of your dreams, the greatest gift my wife gave to me on that day was her purity. The greatest gift I could give to her was my purity. Sweetheart, I kept this body of mine clean for you. For you. Young people, I'm going to be a little frank here. Will you let me be a little frank and be sacred and respectful and holy about it? We're in church. Will you be wise? The world says to you kids, oh my goodness, you're 16 years old and you got all these hormones raging and I can't believe you don't do anything. The world's lying to you. The world is lying to you. God designed you the way you are, and God designed you with the ability and the power to limit yourself in your teen years so you can develop purity in your life so that when you get married, what the world is telling you you ought to be experiencing right now, I'm going to say it sacredly, but I'm going to say it. You can enjoy it every day in your marriage. And it be sacred and beautiful and blessed and happy and even fun. That's God's plan. You need to remember the Bible truths about purity. David here missed all of that. David didn't need this woman. He needed a wife. David should have been messing around with this woman. He had a wife. David is allowing his lust to drive him. David is taking wrong steps. David is letting purity get out of line here in this passage. Purity ought to be a major priority in your life, young people. So make sure you understand what the Bible's teaching about your human sexuality. God made you this way. It's not something the devil dreamed of. Don't sit in your living room and let some garbage out of Hollywood, some pervert out of Hollywood, try to mess up your thinking about human sexuality. God designed you this way. You're a man on purpose because God designed you to be a man. You're a woman on purpose. God designed you to be a woman. And God planned all this for your marriage someday. And it's wonderful. And it's beautiful. And it's sacred. And it's special. Don't take something that's so special and share it with everybody that comes down the pike. Save it for your marriage. I think it'd be entirely fine if there came a day in your life when you stand at the altar, the first person you ever kissed would be the one you marry. Say, oh, Brother Young, it doesn't matter. Okay, maybe it doesn't. The Bible doesn't say, thou shaltest not as kissest anybody as except thou art married as to us. The Bible doesn't necessarily say that in explicit terms, but there is something special about it, isn't there? And there's something, don't you think there'll be something special when you're at the altar and the preacher says, now, son, you may kiss your bride. Hey, don't you think? Bring it on. I mean, don't you think so? You say, well, you know, she's kissed every guy I went to school with. He's made out with every girl in school. There's nothing special about that. But there's something special about it if you keep your life clean. The devil wants you to just destroy it, young people. And so many of you are. You got the internet, you got the TV, you got your texting. And you just need wisdom. You need to make purity a major priority. Think of some Bible principles that will help us. Did you know that Ephesians 5 and verse 3 says this? Ephesians 5 and verse 3 says, but fornication, that's sexual sins, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once. Not be once. Not be once named among you. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once. This ought to be your goal about your purity. Not one time. No pornography. Not one time. No improper texting. Not one time. No relationship with a guy or girl outside of marriage. Not one time. Not one time. Now I'm going to tell you, the devil goes the other way on that. God's plan is that not one time is there garbage in my life so that someday I can have a marriage that is incredible, that is phenomenal, that is amazing. And every day for the rest of my life, my wife and I can enjoy the fact that she's a woman and I'm a man and we're married together and we have the opportunity and the possibility and the right to enjoy each other physically. That's God's plan. That's God's plan for you. And yet, the devil's idea is this. The devil's idea is just one time. Just one time. Just one time. You know you're curious, so just one time look at it. Just one time try it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know that the devil tempts you. Just one time won't hurt. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Come on, nobody here but us. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? And what's the devil's lie? The devil's lie is, if you just one time, come on, just one time. And then here's what happens. We one time do wrong, and we feel guilty. Can't believe I did that. Feel dirty. Oh, why did I do that? The devil will give you some time, and then here's his second lie. Just one more time. Just one more time. Just one more time. Just one more time. You see the steps involved in that? The devil's plan and God's plan are exact opposites. God's plan is not one time, not one time, not one time. There's all kinds of areas of your life that ought to be not one time. Never one time should you ever have alcohol. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Not one time. Not one time, 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 not one time. That's a major Bible truth that you can find in Ephesians 5 and verse 3. Not one time. Psalm 101 and verse 3, the psalmist said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. None at all. No wicked thing. See, Mom and Dad don't care what I watch on TV. I'm not talking to your parents. I'm talking to you. I can't change your parents, but if your parents do wrong every day for the rest of their life, you are still responsible to decide to do right on your own. Psalm 101 verse 3 says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Young people, I'd highly recommend that you don't have a TV in your bedroom. If you got one in there, get it out. You don't need that in your bedroom. I don't know. I won't buy my kids. Now, I use a smartphone. I've got a MapQuest on here. I do email on here. I do Facebook on here. I do Twitter on here. I got a smartphone, but I wouldn't give my kids one. I won't do it. I wouldn't let my kids have a smartphone. You know why? Because there's too much garbage available. I mean, just too much. There's just too much. Are there any texts on your phone in the last 6 months that you'd be embarrassed if we posted that text on the screen in front of this room? And you're not right with God. If there's garbage in your life, a text that if we put it on that screen would ruin your life, you're not right with God. And I will tell you, you will not have the marriage God wants you to have. You will do incredible damage to your purity. And you're the one that'll pay for it. So why would you live that way? I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm just telling you, your purity is important. You've got to make up your mind, well, that's going to be a part, set no wicked thing before my eyes. I will not put garbage in front of my face. I will not. I'm not going to do it. And I'm not going to put myself in a place where I can see it. I will take a stand about it. If I'm in the locker room at school and a guy in there's got garbage in it, I'm going to take a stand about it. I'm going to stand up and say, look, that is not right. I am a Christian and I'm saving myself for my spouse. I'm not looking at that. Say, well, they make fun of me. Well, the day you get married and you're enjoying every day the rest of your life what they're joking about, nobody will be making fun of you then, because you'll be having a wonderful time with the person God married you in the way God made you to be. That's God's plan, young people. Set no wicked thing before your eyes. Job chapter 31 and verse 4. Job said, I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think on a maid? Do you guys have a covenant with your eyes? I'm not looking at that. I've been training my boys to do that. My boys and I memorized this. It's actually Job 31:1. My boys and I made a little verse. We memorized that together last summer, and we called it dialing 311. Dial 3. We see a billboard with a girl on it. Dial 311. I made a covenant with mine eyes. I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to look at that. We go to the mall, and we don't even go to the mall much because of the garbage in the mall now. But we do go to the mall. We go to the mall as a group, and my daughter Abby will say to her brothers, would you look at that over there? And she'll point that way, because you certainly can't look this way and be a godly man. Too much garbage in the mall even. So we help each other. These are Bible principles, young people. I gave you Proverbs 4:23 this morning, didn't I? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Is there anything that you're doing to help yourself be a godly spouse in the area of purity? And do you have some standards in your life? Is there any steps you're taking? Is there anything in your life that you're saying, I can't do that, and I will not do that, and I'm not going there, and this is the steps I'm taking? Do you have a filter on your computer, on your phone? Do you have something to protect you from the garbage? Do you have friends in your life that you pray with about your purity? Are you careful about relationships? Are you wise? Are you planning to be pure? David got careless. He lowered his standards. He just went carelessly up on the roof and he saw that woman and he fell in love with her. And the fact is, he ruined so many things. Every one of us ought to make purity a major priority of our lives. Can I give you this afternoon, maybe 5 or 6 or 7 things that'll help you to practice purity? Can I give you 5 or 6 or 7? You want to write these down in your heart or write them down in your notes? Here they are. May I suggest to you, young people, and I hope you'll take this wisely, may I suggest to you, don't date. Don't date. Did you know that dating is not God's plan? Marriage is. You don't really need a girlfriend, you need a wife. God's plan is not for you to have a boyfriend, God's plan is for you to have a husband. See, oh, come on, Brother Young, that's stupid. Because don't you get a boyfriend, or don't you get a husband by dating a boy? Or don't you get a wife by dating a girl? Okay, maybe so. But if you're going to find any valid biblical reason for dating, if you could find one valid biblical reason to date, there would only be one, and I'm not even sure that you could make a strong case for that one. The only reason you could ever date in the Bible would be for the purpose of marriage. So you're 13 years old. Do you need a girlfriend? You're 13 years old. You need a boyfriend?
But I'm going to die single.
Oh, baloney, right? So you're 16. I got a girlfriend. I'm 16. I got a little girl. I got a girlfriend. Do you need one? You say, well, I'm a guy. Yeah, but God's plan is for you to have a wife, not a girlfriend. The folks, see, so here's a 16-year-old boy, and he's got a girlfriend, and the fact of the matter is, he doesn't have any biblical reason to have that girlfriend because he's not ready for marriage. I don't mean this to be mean, but bless your heart, Seth, most of you guys can't even get out of bed and make your bed, let alone take care of a wife. I'm not being stupid, it's the truth, isn't it? Your room is a mess, and you think you can take care of a wife? You can't even get out of bed on time, let alone go to work and get a job and pay bills. You're not ready to be married. You don't need to be dating. That's not God's plan. God's plan is, the Bible says marriage is honorable in all. God's plan is marriage. You ought to be thinking, you know what? I'm looking for a wife. I'm 16 and I'm old enough to have one. So I'm going to just do what's right and work hard and be godly and do what's right. Sure, I like girls. It's normal, guys. Yes, like girls. Doesn't mean you have to have a girlfriend. See, dating relationships are exclusive. That's not God's plan for your teen years. It's not God's plan for your teen years. God's plan for exclusive is only in marriage. See, let me see if I can illustrate this for you, okay? Let's see here. I need somebody to help me. I need, all right, come on. Come on, help me. Come on, bud. All right, now, here's God's plan for relationships. God's plan for all of our relationships in life is that we be shoulder to shoulder, all right? This is God's plan for relationships. Give it up, buddy. This is my sermon. Okay, now, this is God's plan for life, that all of our relationships are shoulder to shoulder. I can have all kinds of friends in this kind of relationship. I can even have friends that are girls with this kind of relationship. I'm not saying you're a girl. I just put. And see, honestly, this is God's plan. Now be very holy here and watch me, okay? Because the only relationship you should have in life that's different than shoulder to shoulder is your marriage. I want to show you a picture of the difference in a marriage relationship and all other relationships. All other relationships in life are shoulder to shoulder. A marriage relationship, face me, is face to face. This is a closer relationship than any other relationship in the world. It's a marriage. And you know what? Most of you, here's the danger in you that are playing the dating game. This is your dating relationship with a girl or with a guy. You see this? That's a little weird, right? Yeah. Let me back up. This is a little weird. Are y'all with me? Do you see the difference in this, though? And the reason you don't find dating in the Bible is because dating is a dangerous game. Dating is a dangerous game, and a 15-year-old boy has got to have a girlfriend. So he gets a girlfriend, and he treats her as if they're exclusive. They're a couple. This becomes their relationship. And the next thing you know, it's a dangerous game because it's a breakup game. How many of you know teenagers that play the dating game and now are broken up with the love of their life and they hate each other's guts? Come on. I mean, all people like that? Isn't that interesting? That's not God's plan. God's plan, what's your name, son?
Keon.
God's plan is that someday you meet a beautiful wife and you fall in love with her with absolute purity in your heart because you want to be a godly man for her. When you meet a woman with absolute purity in your heart and you have this kind of relationship, it'll be like no other relationship in the world. You can have all kinds of guys that are buddies. I don't know you, but if you and I were buddies, you and I could be buddies and we could be as good of buddies as anything in the world, but it would not be any kind of relationship like the relationship you'll have with your wife.
No.
I mean, I'd put my arm around her. I mean, I could be buddies. I could say, hey, man, you're my pal. Sorry. It's that arm I have there, just a weakness of mine. This is God's, the dating thing. Teenagers will kill you, it'll destroy, it'll hurt you. And you kids don't play that dating game. So don't play it. Don't play it. Well, Brother Dave, come on, everybody's doing it. Well, just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean you have to. It's not in the Bible. So here's an advice to help you with your purity. Don't date. Now, there's going to come a day that you'll be old enough to have a wife. You're going to have a job. You're going to have to make money. You're going to have to buy food. You're going to have to buy a car. You're going to buy a house. You've got to pay insurance. You've got to be a leader. You've got to have a prayer life. You've got to read the Bible. You've got to be clean. You've got to be manly. Got one of them. Just got one of them. Wow. Why did I bring you up here? What in the world? Are you with me? That time, with absolute purity in his heart, he can start looking for a godly wife. At that time, he's ready. Start looking for a godly wife. And walk down the aisle and make a commitment before God and the whole world. I'm the only one for you and you're the only one for me, and we pledge our lives to each other. And the preacher will say, you may kiss your bride. And you can do whatever you want to then. That's up to you. Go sit down. Don't date. Here's the second piece of advice. I may bring you back up here in a moment, son. Here's the second piece of advice. The second piece of advice is don't touch. Don't date. Don't touch. Now, how many of you believe there's power in touch? You know what teens say to me sometimes? Oh, Brother Young, holding hands is no big deal. Well, is that true? What's your name? That's right. Tyler. What if Tyler and I held hands? Would that be a big deal? Why? I'm not doing that, he said. I'm not doing that either. Just for the record. I'm with you on that. Isn't it amazing? He said, it's no big deal. We're just holding hands. It'd be a big deal if he and I held hands. Wouldn't it? Did you guys see Dr. Beal, the president here at Ambassador? You met him earlier, didn't you? What if I held hands with his wife? Now, that's a little silly, but are you thinking? Would be a big deal, wouldn't it? You know why? Because there's power in touch. There's power in touch. Come here, son. Now, look. You know what people do to me all the time in revivals? All the time in revivals, I get cornered by people that want to tell me stories. I'll preach, and somebody's like, oh, Lord's working in my heart. And they come and they talk to me like this, and they take me by the hand. This is no big deal, is it? That's no big deal, is it?
A handshake is all right.
That's all right, right? Okay, now watch this. Here's what people do to me. People come to me, they shake my hand, and then they don't turn it loose. And they'll say, oh, Brother Young, the Lord sure used your message in my heart, and I just want you to know that God's speaking to my heart, and it reminded me of such and such, and they tell me this long story, and they keep shaking my hand. Now, I don't these people in the world. And after a few moments of this, you know what I want to do? I want to hit them in Jesus' name. I'm like, are you kidding? Turn me loose! For God alone! Because there's something powerful about a touch, isn't there? There really is. Now, he and I are guys, and honestly, this is just one more thing. This is no big deal. Now, did I touch him? Could I shake hands? He's not. But can I shake hands with a girl like this? It's not the end of the world. I just touched a girl. Do, 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 do. No. It's not a big deal. But I will tell you that touch is powerful. It's very powerful. You don't know me and I don't know you. But this is powerful, isn't it? It is. I think he was just sarcastic.
Very.
Because touch is powerful. Young people, don't touch this. You guys, keep your hands off the girls. The Bible does say in your New Testament that it is good for a man not to touch a woman. And you know, theologians debate all of that. Well, I think what it means is it is good for a man not to marry. Well, I've looked up the words, and what the words mean is that it's good for a man not to kindle a fire with a woman. Don't you go around, guys. You are designed by God that when you touch a girl, for it to affect your body. You're designed that way. And God designs you that way. So that when you get married, touch up a storm. But if you're not married, don't touch. Now, are y'all with me this afternoon? You can have a seat. Aren't you glad? I'm about out of time, so I'm going to just say these couple things to you. Protect your masculinity and femininity. Do y'all believe that it's good to be a man if you're a man? All right, then learn to be a man. Guys, learn to be a man. Learn to do the man thing. Stand up for your mom at the table. Be a leader in your house and learn to love. David is doing wrong by his wife. Don't you do wrong. Don't. Learn to protect your masculinity. Be a man, and a man is not an idiot. A man is a loving, gentle leader. Are you a loving guy? Are you gentle? How do you treat your siblings? Girls, are you rude to your sister? Then you'll be rude to your wife. Are you rude to your mom? Then you'll be rude to your wife. You have a lousy marriage. You ought to protect your mom and protect your sister and stand up for your little brother. Your little brother. Don't always ridicule me. We're my little brother. Oh, defend your little brother. Take him under your arm and show him how to be a man. Put Miracle-Gro on his chest and let him grow hair. We ought to be men in our day. Guys, learn to be men. Don't sit on the couch all summer and twiddle your thumbs over some stupid video game. Get a job. Learn how to make money. Make your bed. Clean up your room. Take a stand. Do what's right. Be manly. Learn. See, I don't know what to do. Start running marathons. Seriously, get off your backside and start running 3 or 4 or 5 miles a day. Be a man. Do something manly. Protect masculinity in your generation. And girls, do something girly. You know what we're doing in our generation? We're trying to teach our boys to be more in touch with their feminine side. Guys should not have a feminine side. We're trying to get girls to be more in touch with their masculine side. Girls, learn how to play ball as well as a guy. And learn how to be manly. And drive big machinery. And bulldoze houses. But I'm just telling you, God has a different plan. Girls, it is okay in this perverted, messed up, filthy generation we live in. It is okay to be a girl. It is okay. I'm going to say something big, all right? I hope you will not be offended. You're going to think Brother Young is an absolute idiot because what I'm about to say goes against everything our culture is teaching and believing. But I want to say, it'd be entirely fine for you girls even to learn how to cook. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? It's like, wow. Did he just say what he... Guys, some of you guys better learn how to cook because the girls can't cook today. You're going to starve to death when you get married. Because there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with being a beautiful, modest young lady. Girls, you protect your femininity. God made you to be a girl and protect that. Be a gentle lady. You guys be a loving leader of a man. And learn to take a stand and learn to clean things up and learn to help around the house and learn to serve. Learn to love. Learn to do manly things. And girls, learn to do things that are feminine. And even dress like it. Be careful. Guys, you shouldn't have to teach guys about modesty. You know, I joked a little bit this morning about the skinny jeans thing. And I know it's popular. And, you know, I know a lot of our guys don't know any better. And I understand all of that wanting to fit in. But, you know, sometimes the problems with those kind of things today is they can be immodest. Guys, God didn't design you to, you'll be sacred, will you? God didn't design us to show our bodies off. We're to be covered. The only person who has a right to your body is God Almighty and your future wife. That's it. That's it. Girls, unfortunately, a lot of times we preach about modesty, it's kind of one-sided because it especially deals with you. Because God designed you in such a way, God designed you to be beautiful. And girls, you should be modest because your body belongs to God and your husband. I'm going to be frank, okay? When it's too low, it's wrong. When it's too short, it's not honoring to God. When it's slinky and sexy, you're damaging your purity. I know it's hard. I've got a teenage daughter, and she wants to be beautiful, and she wants to be normal. She wants to look, you know, she doesn't want to look, you know, odd. I know it's a challenge, but I've taught my daughter, sweetie, when you go to the store and you buy things, look in the mirror and think. Is this high enough? Long enough? Full enough? Loose enough? Does it reveal my body to where not much is left to the imagination? Are my jeans so tight that nobody has to wonder what I look like? Is that how you think? I've said to my daughter, sweetheart, look, wear things that are loose. Look in the mirror and see. And if you're in doubt, ask Daddy. Because I want to help my daughter to be ready to be married. This is all about your purity, young people. Make it a priority in your life. You've got to take care of your life. You've got to learn to say no. You've got to learn to say no. One of the greatest stories about purity in the Bible is a man named Joseph in the Old Testament who was a slave in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar's wife came to Joseph and said, I want you to go to bed with me. And the Bible says three words that are absolutely important for every young man and young lady to learn. The Bible says, but he refused. No! Now look at that garbage on the internet. No. I will not come to your house to watch that filthy movie. No. I will not listen to your stupid joke. No. I won't tell your stupid joke. No. I won't laugh at your little innuendos. No. I won't look at that texting. I won't do it. I'm not doing it. I'm not playing that game. No. The answer is no. Because I'm going to have a wife someday. And I'm going to have a husband someday. And I want to have a marriage that honors God so that I can enjoy every day of my life what the world is messing around with and being stupid about. You don't have to be stupid about it. You don't have to be sinful about it. Just keep yourself for your marriage. And you can enjoy the physical relationship God intended between a man and a woman. You can enjoy it almost every day of your life in a marriage relationship. And it be sacred and beautiful and holy. Am I being too frank? Are we okay? Are you okay with what I'm preaching here? Am I making sense? Are you learning? Are you letting God work in your heart? God's on your side, young people. He has a wonderful plan for your life. David failed so miserably. Here was this man who killed this giant. Here was this man who was a man after God's own heart. Here was a man so prominent that Jesus himself is called the Son of David. Here is a man that loved God. Here is a man that did what was right and wrote the Bible, many portions of the Bible. God's Holy Spirit came upon him and he wrote down what we call the Bible. This was a mighty man. And yet this was a man that failed in his purity and made all kinds of damage to his own testimony and his own family and his own marriage. Just because of his purity. And God doesn't want you to do that. Learn to say no. Look forward to being married. I mean, look forward to it. It's okay. Look forward to the fact some of you are going to have a wife. Some of you are going to have a husband. I think, guys, you ought to marry a beautiful girl. I think you ought to marry the most beautiful girl you can find. She ought to love God. She ought to be beautiful. She ought to be godly. But I think you ought to marry a beautiful, attractive girl. I think girls, you ought to marry a handsome hunk of a man. I mean, don't marry a jerk. Don't marry an idiot, but find you a godly man that loves Jesus and loves the Bible and is handsome at the same time. See, God's for you, kids. Your future rides a lot on this matter of purity. In the last session, you remember the last session? Statistics say this about you. Somebody seated next to you right now is going to be divorced in the next 20 years. 50% of you, statistics say, will end up in divorce. In the church, that's our statistic rate today. 50% of marriages are ending in divorce. Now that's a broad term, that word church. But it means that many of you will be divorced in the years to come unless Almighty God helps you to make purity a priority. You're going to fail so royally. As parents, statistics say, that 3 out of 4 of you, right here's 4 people, right here's 4, 2 girls and 2 guys, statistics say, kids, that 3 of you will fail so royally as a parent that your grandkids won't know Jesus. Right here's 4 people, 3 of them will be that big of a failure. Statistics say that 97% or so of you will be addicted to pornography. You'll have to look at it every day. Young people, you live in such a perverted, stinking, messed up world. But you know something? You have an amazing God that wants to use your life, wants to bless your life, wants to give you a great marriage someday, wants to help you serve Him all the days of your life. Young people, you don't have to play the devil's game to be happy. You'll never find peace and satisfaction in a sexual relationship outside of marriage. You'll never find the joy and peace and happiness you need looking at pornography on an internet. Girls, you won't find the true joy and peace God has for you playing some texting game with another guy. I will tell you, young people, God has a plan for your life. And someday you're going to be 43 like me. Seems impossible, doesn't it? Some of you guys will be bald-headed. A lot of you will have gray hair. You girls will cheat and dye yours. But you know something? God's for you, kids. God's for you. God wants to bless your life. God wants to use you. God wants you to have a great marriage someday. God knows all about you. He knows your family situation. He knows the struggles you already have in your life. You know, people, there's hope for you. You can do what's right. You can make things clean if there's dirt in your life. You can be used of God. You can someday, girls, all five of you girls right here can have a wonderful marriage someday. You can. God wants you to have a happy marriage. A wonderful man. A gentle man. A Christ-like man. A happy... all of us are going... You kids are going to have kids. You're going to have sons and daughters. And what you're doing right now is going to determine whether or not your sons and daughters are a blessing or a curse to your life. God wants to use you. God's for you, kids. You may be going home this afternoon, and you may drive back to the church parking lot where you left from a few hours ago, and you may go to a house tonight that's a royal mess. You may have a mom or dad, or a stepdad or a stepmom, or a broken home, and you may be going back to a mess tonight, and the pain in your heart sometimes at your house, there is no way that many of us could fully understand. But can I tell you something? If you were doing what's right and will do what's right, God can change all of that in your life and give you a happy marriage and a wonderful family. And the years to come, you don't have to have that kind of family. But it's going to demand your purity. I've talked to you all day about David. David was a man whose heart is the reason why God chose him. God knew what was going on inside. If you didn't pray with somebody about the heart issue today, you should before we leave. You should meet with somebody. You should love them. You should pray with them. If you're struggling in an area of purity, I don't think you need to be embarrassed about it necessarily, though there ought to be some shame involved probably. But what I think you ought to do in this session is know that there's people here that are for you, that love you, that want to encourage you, that you can be forgiven today. You may have made a mess of your purity. Do you realize that you could start fresh today? You could say, God, I was wrong, but I'm going to pursue purity from now on because I want to try to correct. You know, we sow seeds. We sow seeds. And so you've been sowing all kinds of garbage in your life. And yes, we reap what we sow. Why don't you start today sowing new seeds? Start out today doing new things that are right and starting keeping your life clean and start sowing new seeds so that yes, you may have some garbage that's been sown, but you can overcome that. You can sow new seeds and clean seeds and the right kind of seeds so that it'll come up in your life and God can use your life and bless your life and work in your life. And you know, I want to tell you this afternoon, you'll be glad you did. It is a wonderful thing to serve God. It is a wonderful thing to love God. It is a wonderful thing to have a happy marriage. It is a wonderful thing to have a happy family. God is on your side. And if you'll do what's right and honor God, you don't have to ruin your life. God will use you in mighty ways. And someday, if the Lord doesn't return, I may be in my 60s and I'll meet you and you'll be in your 40s. You can say, Brother Young, this is my wife. And I did what you preached years ago at Ambassador at TAC conference. And it worked. This is the love of my life. And these are our 12 children. Or two. Young people, you are that important to God. Are y'all with me this afternoon? All right, and here's our invitation. We're coming to the close of our TAC conference. And there's counselors at the back of this auditorium that'll be lining up because they love you. Young people, some of you need to pray with a counselor about purity matters. Maybe all of us. But we need God's help, and I hope you'll respond. Would you sit up straight? Would you just close your eyes? How many of you again would say, David, I may not be everything I ought to be, but I know for sure that I'm saved. Can I see your hands again? You know for sure you're going to heaven? You've asked Jesus to save you. You're sure of that? Now, would you take your hands down? How many that just raised a hand would say, hey, David, I'm really struggling in some areas that you preached about this session. My purity's not everything it ought to be. And I want to be used of God. And I want God to help me about this. And would you pray with me about it? Would you raise your hand? Let me pray with you about it. Come on, slip them up. Nobody here but us. I need prayer about my purity. Raise them good and high. I need God's help. I need God's help. I'm going to ask in a moment each of you that raised a hand to let a counselor pray with you. I'm going to ask you to. How many of you say, David, in the afternoon session, when you talked about David's steps, I know there are some steps in my life that I've been taking that I need to change. There's some steps. You preach about taking steps. My relationship to my parents. There's just steps in my life that I know that I'm taking a wrong step. Maybe insignificant today, but you'd say, David, while it's a small step and not that big a deal, I want to pray about it and take care of it because I want God to use my life. How many of you, God spoke to you like that in the last session? Can I see your hands? Would you raise them good and high? Some steps in my life that need to change. And God bless every one of you. God bless every one of you. Would this be okay? You that just raised your hand, would this be okay? Would you, everybody's got their heads bowed and eyes closed. Would you stand and let me have prayer with you, and then would you meet a counselor after I pray with you? Nobody's going to embarrass you. Would you stand to your feet and let me pray with you, you that raised your hand? Just stand right now, if you will. And I'm going to pray with you. If you raised a hand, would you stand and let me pray with you, and then would you step out and meet a counselor after I pray with you? Who else will stand and join all of these that are standing? God spoke to your heart, so would you stand? Let me pray with you. Just, I want to pray with you, so if you'll stand, I'll pray with you. Anybody else want me to pray with you? God bless you, and you and others are still standing, so I'll wait just a couple more moments. If you're going to stand, do it right now. God, speak into your heart. Stand to your feet. Let me pray with you about these matters. God, help these that are standing. Lord, it may be something as small as can be, and yet you've spoken to their heart about it, and it may be something large, and they need major help. But either way, work in their hearts, work in their lives, and help them in the meeting with a counselor just to be loved and encouraged this afternoon, I pray. Would you just meet a counselor? Go to the back. Just step to the nearest aisle and head back to the back, and counselors will just meet you and go pray with you just like that. The rest of us will keep our heads bowed and eyes closed. While others are going to meet a counselor just like that, step out and go meet a counselor, would you? Just move to the nearest aisle and go meet a counselor. Let them pray with you. Would you step out just like that? That's great. God bless every one of you. Anybody else want a counselor to pray with you? You can step out. Anybody else? Are we going? Anybody else? Anybody here who would say, David, I don't know for sure that I'm saved. If I died today, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. And I'm concerned about it. I don't want to go to hell. But I don't know that I'm saved. I really don't know that I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me? Lift your hand if that's true in your life and let me pray for you about it. I'd love to get a counselor to pray with you so you can know you're going to heaven. Anybody at all here at the TAC conference unsaved? You don't know you're going to heaven. You're concerned about your soul. Jesus has been speaking to you. Let me get somebody to pray with you. Would you raise a hand? Let me see it. Anybody like that at all? Do you know for sure that you're saved? Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? Anybody that way at all? Here's my final question. How many of you say, David, you know what? I know some steps I could take when I go home that'll make a difference. I know some decisions I ought to make. I know some steps I ought to take. Brother David, I don't know that I need to meet a counselor. But I know some changes I could make so that I could be a better Christian. I know some steps I could take that'll really help me to be a better Christian. I know exactly what they are. I don't need to meet a counselor. But I know there's some things I need to change when I go home. And if God will help me, I'm going to change them. If that's true in your life, I want to pray with you too. Will you just stand, let me pray with you, and then you can be seated. I know I don't need to meet a counselor, but I know there's things I need to pray about. I know there's needs in my life, things I need to change, areas I need to improve. I know exactly what they are. Now, before I pray with you, will you pray for yourself? Will you tell God exactly what they are and promise God you'll change it? Promise God you'll add it? Father, I pray that you'll help every one of these young men and young ladies to be godly kids. Lord, I don't know what the condition of their families are, and I don't know what the condition of their future is going to be necessarily. But I believe with all of my heart that every one of these young people standing are important to you. More than anything, Lord, I believe you want to use their life. America needs them. Our churches need young people sold out and dedicated and consecrated to you. God, have your way, I pray, in the hearts and lives of these kids that are standing. And Lord, it may be that all the kids who are sitting are seated because they're doing pretty well. They really are trying to honor you. But if there's a young man or young lady who's seated, who's wrestling in their heart about the direction they're going to go, blessed Holy Spirit, would you minister deeply to their heart? Would you help them to be everything they ought to be? Convict them deeply. Help them to make changes in their life so you can use their life. And that's my prayer in Jesus' name. You may be seated.